Yeah, one other thing I was going to mention, we're talking about prevention and everything, and one of the things we're trained in and something we do a lot of times, whether it's in this room or at home or at work or what have you, is we mentally rehearse things, the what ifs. And I wonder how many of you have that what if on, what if something were to happen, whether it's a burglary, whether it's a car accident, whatever. And post 9/11, the national government always said, be prepared, be prepared. And part of that is the mental rehearsal of it, because time is lost and safety is lost when the first few minutes of an incident, whether it's a car crash or what have you, when you're in that panic moment going, all right, what do I do next? So challenge yourself once a week, once a month, whatever it is, to mentally think things through. What if I am in a car crash? What do I need to do? Am I blocking traffic? Can I move over? What if I do see someone that I'm not expecting, what have you, ring the doorbell? What am I going to do? How am I going to handle that? So that's one step less of thinking that you have to do, and you're now reacting. Someone threw a large boulder through your window. If you were home, what would you have done? And a lot of people, rightfully so, and I know my mom would too, would be freeze at first. What would I do? It's not a bad idea to have some mental thought into scenarios. And they don't all have to be burglary, but things from car crashes, a kid injury, something at school, whatever it is, how are you going to react? That's one step closer to getting help or helping yourself.
Just like the fire drill.
There you go.
Stop trying to grow.
Well, I have a little library out in front, and I was on the phone talking to somebody and wanted to change clothes. So I went upstairs and looked out the window, and I said to my friend on the phone, oh, there's these four little kids coming up the street. I've never seen them before, and I wonder who they are and what they want. I said, oh, they're going to go look at the library. They're going to go look at the books. Pretty soon they turned around and ran away, and I went downstairs, and there was a big boulder, and they had broken the window. I actually got in the car and followed them, but see, I didn't have a plan. I wouldn't have to stop and talk to them. I did talk to them from the car, and I know where they came from. But I actually could have done a better job if I had planned ahead for somebody who was going to break the door.
Did you have your cell phone with you?
I was in the house talking on the phone.
No, I mean when you got in the car. Give us a call. We'd love to. And my mom told me about that, Shirley, so I heard about it. I've been giving your house extra patrol ever since. No, I mean, that's something. Do people keep their phone on them near the door when they go out, what have you? So when you do go in that car, so let's say you stop next to them, and all of a sudden...
Yeah, I talked to them and said, why'd you do that? But they were walking away from me. I truly could have gotten out and talked to them personally, I think. And I wish I had, but I didn't. They were small, I mean, 12, 15. Yeah, it's not that small. But they must have brought the rock because it was a big rock. They must have been carrying it around.
I thought I saw another hand up over here. Is there somebody else? Yes, sir.
How many burglaries are just random, and how many do you think are people that suspect somebody's got drugs or money and they break in for that specific reason?
I would say that there's very few that fall into the latter category. They're almost, in terms of a regular burglary, and I would say they're either random or crimes of opportunity, where a suspect might case a neighborhood to look for a prime target, but they don't think, hey, I know John Smith has got X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to go to his house to break in. We do see those occasionally. Usually those happen when the people are home and they're accompanied by some violence, because then the people have to call us. But I think the times when they just get broken into and their drugs or money get stolen and they're not home, they don't call us probably.
I just noticed we have another neighborhood resource. Supervisor Veldrin is in the back there.
Would you like to join us?
Do you think that they scout out properties, or do you think it's just random, they're walking down the street and they see a door unlocked or a garage door? Do you think they study?
I can't say with absolute certainty, but I don't think there's much sophistication or studying going on. My guess would be that most of these are people that probably live within walking distance. Can't say for sure, but, and they're just walking through different neighborhoods, or maybe it's walking from their home to point A, and they take a detour, and they see an open garage door, or they see something that suggests an opportunity, a couple newspapers built up on the porch, anything, and that's what spurs them on.
In general, do we see people taking things of high value or of high opportunity?
I think high opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, we are seeing people bypassing high value things in favor of things that are small, portable, and easy to sell.
The night that our house was vandalized, I think it was the next day, but people were talking on the listserv about hearing kids in their backyard or, seeing something. And I guess I would urge people to go online right away. And you call the police, certainly, but sometimes it's just, an odd sound in the backyard and you suspect something, but you don't really see it, And I think if you go on the listserv and just say something and say what you suspect, I think the more people you alert, the better and the quicker. Because I think the listserv does work.
Yeah, I agree. I think making sure everybody is aware of what's going on is always going to help.
But I mean, even if it's just a little thing, especially at night.
I agree.
Do you have a question?
That's a great segue. I'm looking around and I recognize most of you, but to hijack your comment about the listserv, does everybody know what she's talking about, the listserv? Is everybody on the neighborhood listserv? Is anybody not, then they don't know what we're talking about? Raise your hand if you don't know about the listeners. Everybody on it, really?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Sorry. Survey, that's the, yeah. So we have
the mailers.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. Okay. So everybody's on it?
That's how they found out about this. That's how they found out about the meeting.
All of everyone who's not at the meeting doesn't know about it.
You're talking to the wrong group. Paul.
I heard John about 10 minutes ago, and they called a non-emergency number, and they said we had to put down a raccoon. It was just like 2 yards away.
Wow.
Are we always supposed to call when we hear gunshots?
I Unless think it's so. The 4th of July.
It doesn't have to be a firecracker or a gun.
Yeah.
You don't want to be stupid.
Well, I think there's never any harm in calling at all.
Which number should you
call? Call 911, because since they've put in that process with the non-emergency number, the voicemail and all that nonsense. If it's something where you think you need a cop, call 911.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
An additional security device that can be very useful is motion detector lighting.
Yes, I think that that was mentioned.
And what I've done is I have a double header over my garage door that faces out toward the street. And then around the back of the garage, there's an entry, a walk-in door, and I have another double header there. And then around the back, my home is a walkout in the back, a little bit of a walkout entry there, and I have another double header there. And they're inexpensive.
Right. They even make battery operated ones if you don't have a wire.
They're easy to wire up.
Yeah.
Every person can wire it up without getting electrician. But you can adjust the sensitivity for them so that you can't eliminate the raccoon from triggering it. But what happens is when you get within 10 or 15 feet, of that light that's in a motion detector at night, bingo, it goes on. And if you place them over your doors or the entries to your home, that's where people, a lot of this new tactic of ringing the doorbell and if nobody answers, then the case to join. But when you walk up to the house to ring the doorbell, the motion detector light goes on. And these lights are pretty bright. They're like, what, par 75, 85, whatever, and there's two of them. So that, you know, kind of shocking.
That's good you bring that up, because at night, this neighborhood is poorly lit. You have a lot of growth, which is gorgeous, a lot of beautiful oak and maple trees here, but the street lighting and all of that, it makes for some dark areas. And it's so important for these officers. Think of the timing, how long this happens. If they're responding to 5210 Barton Road, just throwing that out there, they got to look at all your streets to figure out the exact address. The better lit, the better. Whether it's the police showing up or the fire showing up, we got to see your address. And you don't have a lot of street lights, but your Alder's here, and he's got deep pockets, and it's budget time. So you need more street lights. He's the guy to talk to.
Well, I think that just happened. Wasn't there right in our neighborhood? There was a place that was too dark, and neighbors complained, and they were already out there putting up new lights.
They can for sure trim the trees. The captain's been out in the Hammersley neighborhood, and not him trimming them, but pointing out dark spots where we can't see, and all of a sudden the tree service, forestry comes out and they trim the trees so your street lights can shed more light. So if you have that on there, let us know, let Maurice know. And
so years ago on Dynamo, we got all the neighbors that had yard lights, leaving them on all night. And that helped sufficiently we were having.
Good.
And they sell lights that are, you know, solar powered, so you just have your yard lights that you don't even have to worry about it. The solar power will just charge them and they go on.
Yes?
So last Thursday, my car was parked in the driveway in the tree in the neighborhood, and someone threw a rock through the window. You know, nothing valuable in my car in the driveway. Is that happening much, or it's just not?
You know, it's kind of sporadic, but I mean, it's certainly across the district in the big grand scheme of things, we have a lot of that, you know, kind of senseless stuff like that. And I think that's the kind of stuff that is probably really underreported also.
Yeah, I just reported it. I figured, okay, you guys aren't going to do anything, but then at least you got data if it's happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just got a point back on the lights. I know in much earlier time when police have done some of these. It seemed like the police, it was a Marion Thurber, right? You used to do the, you know, do the great crime or a great protection, safety speeches and presentation. It seemed like the preference is actually the light that's on constantly, the dusk to dawn light. I know from a neighborhood, from your own standpoint, you really don't want that on all the time, but it seems like that is considered a better deterrent. And I don't know if that changed. That was just the way she presented it.
Well, I think, I mean, certainly obviously I think that's going to be stronger. I don't know if we have any data. Certainly, I think if you're sneaking into somebody's backyard and a motion light comes on, it has right. some sort of startle effect, like maybe somebody's watching. But I think particularly into the front of a house, if you can have everybody who's lighting it up, particularly over here where the trees and the tree canopy are, you know, between the street lights and the street, that can really help.
Anything else?
No.
Well, I certainly.
One thing.
The plates.
I'd like to thank the MPD for coming, but I'd also like to really express my appreciation to the Orchard Ridge United Church of Christ for making these facilities available. And Reverend Newton Boyd had no problem at all with letting us use the church.
And thank you, all of you, for coming. This is going to help keep us safer, because all of us are aware that all of us are looking out for each other. So thanks very much for coming.
Thank you.